This is the WFG National Title Insider Report, your download on the market, featuring industry experts, thought leadership, and what's trending to keep you informed and ahead of the market. In this episode, the Title King, Kevin Thatcher, author of Rescue Your Business, founder of TitleRate.com, and CEO of Independence Title in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, joins us to share his story and offer advice on growing your business. Hey, Kevin, thanks for joining us. We all came to the real estate profession most likely from another career prior to real estate, and you have a very interesting story to share. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. Well, first, thanks for having me on. It's always my pleasure to get on calls like this and make sure we can add as much value to the industry as we can. So my story is pretty unique, and I like to start back. You know, when I was in high school, I was not a great student. I never really wanted to be in school. I never went to college. It was always I was working. I always wanted to be the best I could be and do the best I can do for the people I was working for. So I was a firefighter actually up in New York, and I worked some jobs before that. But firefighter is the one that I like to really talk about the most because I moved down to Florida just 20 days before September 11th. You know, and obviously, you know, missing the tragic event that happened, I had many friends that were up there. And I always say one of the things that I really learned from being a firefighter is that we go in the deal together and we leave the deal together. And I think that's really where, you know, the success of my business comes from is because, you know, when you take the concept of being a team and going into something together and leaving, you know, firefighters will never leave their fellow brothers and sisters alone. And there was one time when I was in a fire that I wrote about in my recent book, where I talk about I was up at the top of a second story of a house, and I got caught, and it started flashing over on me and getting really super hot, and I was stuck. I couldn't get unstuck to get down the stairs and get out the middle of the you know, the front door. And this guy stuck with me and did everything he can do to make sure he untied my boot that was hooked on the wrought iron gate at the top of the steps, and then brought me right down to safety. So, you know, that left an impression in me that anything I do in life, I need to go in with the reason of being a team and making sure we get out together.
Yeah, I think it's ironic. You were a firefighter, and so many of us in the real estate industry, whether it's on title and settlement or, you know, a real estate professional, lender, you know, you have to have that firefighter mentality. We'll talk more about that from a business planning standpoint in just a minute. But what made you decide to get out of that profession? And I know you migrated from New York, New Jersey, Long Island, where you grew up, down to Florida. What created that inflection point in your life?
I think it was part of my drive. My drive was always to do something different. And obviously not having a college degree was a challenge that I had growing up, you know, not being able to just go get a nice job at a fancy financial firm. So I had to really figure out what am I going to do for myself. So, you know, I was a firefighter and I worked my way in 6 years. I worked from being a probationary firefighter all the way up to being a captain. And one of the things that I learned is there's always someone above me that I have to rely on to do the best they can. And I had an opportunity to move down to Florida and get into the mortgage business, which is, you know, how I started in Florida in 2001. I became a mortgage broker. And one of the things that I enjoyed was my uncle gave me an opportunity to move down to Florida and said, you know, you can be your own boss. You can make the rules. You can make the decisions. And what I learned really fast is you can also pay the consequences for those bad decisions.
Yeah.
And I said, this is for me. Like, this is the best thing I could possibly do, where I can work for myself. I make the rules and I structure how things are going to look. And that's, so I never look back.
You talk about the Wild West, early 2000s through obviously 2005, 6, and 7 prior to the crash. I recall back then that a lot of us thought, wow, this is going to be a great life for the rest of our lives. And it didn't quite turn out that way, did it?
It did not. You know, I was speaking to someone actually at an event last night, and we were talking about the market. I owned a mortgage company, a real estate company. I had my real estate broker's license, a bunch of agents under my license. I owned the title company with a couple of partners, and then I also had a home and auto insurance company. And for those of you that are listening that know, obviously these are very lucrative businesses as long as you're closing deals. And I was probably doing about 30 deals a month, and I was writing across all four industries. So part of that is, you know, the money was coming in, but the mistake I made was I was spending it faster than it was coming in because no one ever thought it was going to stop. I went from making, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 a year to making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month.
Yeah.
And no one ever thought that it would ever stop. And the problem we had is that the market, at least in South Florida, when I got involved, we were doing FHA loans, and then it turned into no income verification and negative amortization loans. And no one ever thought the market would have imploded and literally went from doing 30 deals to doing 3 deals overnight.
Many of us remember that time, and it was a very painful period. And so many people, thousands of people, got out of the business altogether. You didn't, though. You stuck it out and, you know, took your medicine. So did I. A lot of us did. And you made a pivot. And talk about what you were going through at that point in that period where you were assessing or reassessing what you were going to do to move forward. And talk about the impact that this period had on you, not only from a career, but as a business owner.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, for those that are listening, this may be a little painful for you to listen to, but it was painful for me. I literally lost everything. I went from doing 30 deals a month to 3 deals a month. I went from having not a lot of debt to being $750,000 in debt. I went from being 200 pounds to 285 pounds and unhealthy, not exercising, not eating right. I was sick. I was sick physically. I was sick emotionally. I lost my wife. I lost my business. I lost my cars. I lost my house. I lost my everything but my daughter and one employee that I hung on to. And the only reason I hung on to her is because I was writing her paychecks on a cash advance on my credit card, because I said, I know what we're doing is going to work. And I had 3 other partners. They all bailed on me and left. They said, we can't, you know, we're not going to keep funding this business. And I said, you know what? I'm going to keep funding it because it's all I know. And I'm going to work as hard as I can because it will rebound. And I would pay cash advance on my credit card. And then next month, maybe I'd close 7 deals and I'd get caught up. And then the next month I'd close 3 and I'd get behind again. And one of the things that I learned, because at that point I spent my last $5,000 of credit on a mentor here local in South Florida that taught me a concept of endless referrals. And I'm thinking to myself, endless referrals? Well, this seems like an odd concept when the market just crashed and there are no referrals.
Yeah.
And he said, if you do it properly, it'll always be endless referrals. It'll never stop if you just learn how to do it properly. So I said, what do I have to lose? Here's a credit card. I'm going to buy your program. It was $5,000 for the coaching program. And I became his leading coach in South Florida, basically not selling his coaching program, but teaching the real estate industry his program. And all that did was it taught all of the people that were suffering just like me how to create endless referrals. So that realtor or the mortgage broker that was doing 1 to 2 deals a month was now figuring there's a better way where we can do 3 to 5 deals a month. And it worked across the board. So it was super painful, but we went through it for about 2.5 years through the pain. And then all of a sudden the market shifted again. And we were positioned to be the leader, as opposed to positioned to be the one that's first getting back in the business because I left the business to go do something else.
And I want to put this in perspective for everyone downloading this all around the country. South Florida, along with, let's say, Riverside County, maybe Bend, Oregon, and a couple other markets, throw Vegas in there, really the epicenters of the meltdown. So you were at ground zero, effectively, in the mortgage meltdown and the real estate meltdown. Let's call it the financial meltdown. We know it was all led by Wall Street. Talk about that point, because, yeah, I mean, you had to have a lot of faith going into this because there wasn't a whole lot going on there. And I mean, you're literally scraping together some crumbs here to try and put some together, right?
Yeah, there was nothing. All of my friends got out of the business. They all moved into different industries. Interest rates were moving up high. Home values were down. Banks were going out of business, trying to get support from the government. And there was really no line to really look at. I mean, it's not like I can see the finish line and say, you know what, it's only going to last another 3 months. We didn't know how long it was going to last. But I just knew something, that I didn't want to go get a regular job and go work for someone. I knew that I had what it takes to be able to thrive in this business. And one of the things that people need to realize, especially now that we're at the peak of the market, is it's not if the market's going to crash, it's when the market crashes. So now the people that are listening to this, and we're recording this at the end of 2019, as soon as we move into 2020, who knows what's going to happen? And I'm not a political person. I never talk politics. So I don't really care which person gets into office when I'm looking at our industry. I'm just saying that regardless of which one gets in, it can either have a negative impact or a positive impact. And that's just a fact. It's not like it's going to stay stagnant. So people need to learn, how can we position ourselves, not if, but when that market has a correction, whether it's in 2020 after the election or whether it's in 4 years, depending on who gets elected, but we're due for a correction. And when the correction happens, are you positioned? Because I meet with people every single day. I was at an event the other night for one of the underwriters, and there were people there saying, it's just me and one assistant, and I'm doing 3-4 deals, and I just can never catch up.
Yeah.
And we talked about, I did almost like business coaching with them. And they're like, wow, you've really shared a lot with me. I'm like, I know, because I've been there. And I learned how I will never be that one again. I'm going to position myself so even if the market turns, I am going to be ready for the next 40 years. I may go through 2 or 3 cycles in the next 40 years, and I will always position myself where I'll still be a leader in the industry.
I want to talk about that too. But first, you made that pivot. You were primarily a lender and had the other services packaged, which was brilliant at the time. A lot of us did it. Talk about the pivot to settlement services. Why did you choose to go that direction?
Because no one could live up to my expectations. And that's really the truth. I came from a very strong work ethic in my family. My mother's a workaholic, loved working, and just exceeded expectations of her boss day in and day out every single day. And I think I obviously have her blood. She's my mother. And I'm just a super workaholic. So for me, I'm dealing with these title companies that just keep messing up the deal. But my clients that value me and my opinion call me and blame me. So when the title company messes up, they're calling me. When the realtor messes up, they call me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, if I'm getting these calls anyway, and I have such a strong work ethic, maybe it's better if I just take one client, especially since the market is in a downward turn, and I just take them through the process, give them a discount across the board, and I handle everything. So when something goes wrong, they can call me, but it's probably my fault because I'm handling everything. So it wasn't to put my hands in every pot so I can make more money. It was handle every aspect of the deal so I can get my client across the finish line successfully without any problems, and because I was in control of it. I wanted to make sure I handled that business from start to finish.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. I wanted to clear that up for everybody listening. Okay, you made that transition. We know it's not if, it's when the market shifts or changes here. Maybe it's to a great degree, maybe not so much, but talk about the model now that you've built. And obviously, let's tie together the impact of what happened, Great Recession, how that impacted you, pivoting your business, and now moving forward, how you feel positioned for the next one. And most of us would agree that the next recession will be nothing like the last one. I think that still lingers for people. We're looking at a business cycle recession a la 2001, 1991. It will not be a quote unquote housing-led recession. And we could debate that all by itself too. But all of that said, we're still going to have one. We still need to be prepared. What are you doing now to get ready for it? And what do you recommend others should be doing if they're not already?
Well, the first, they should read my book, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later on. But the book is basically 15 plus years of what I learned. And I talked to you earlier about how I spent my last limit on my credit card to buy the coaching program. And they talked about one thing, which was super important: relationships. They taught me how to build quality win-win relationships. See, a lot of people in the industry are always looking at one-sided. What's in it for them? Whether they're a real estate agent, a title person, an insurance person, a financial advisor, most people are thinking about themselves. What's in it for me? I'm going to go do this networking event. What can I get out of it? Mm-hmm. And I took the mentality and I learned that it has to be win-win. I have to be able to give before I'm going to gain. And that's what I learned. So I joined a local networking group. I hated public speaking. I was super scared. I had no interest in talking to people. I'm like, I can't do this. I was so sick standing outside this networking event. And this guy grabbed me by the shoulder. He says, come on in, kid. And I walked into a room of these people. They're all dressed in suits, about 50 of them, all different industries. And I'm like, what am I doing? I was so scared, shaking. And then you fast forward 15 years later, I speak on stage in front of hundreds, if not thousands of people sometimes. And I took the shift in my business to make it about them. And when you make it about them, there's a shift that happens in your business that you create this endless referral stream. So it took me about 2 years in this networking group. I was just constantly networking. And everyone in the networking group, I look at, well, I'll say it's the same 80-20 rule, maybe 90-10, that 90% of the room is looking at it, what's in it for them. But there's that 10% that's looking at it, what's in it for you? So I added value to people that were in the networking group. And I said, I'm not looking for a real estate closing. I'm looking for a real estate source, what I used to call the elephant. I want the large source of business, not the one deal. And I just kept asking and asking and asking. And one day someone introduced me to a broker of a large real estate firm that I'm still affiliated with today. That completely changed my life. Because when the market crashed, I got a call saying, hey, the title company in our office is not really performing. Would you be interested? I'm like, wait a minute. I stopped right on the phone. I stopped her right there. Would I be interested? Look, when? And she's like, well, how about today? I'm like, you got it. I rented a U-Haul truck, hired my assistant's five children. We packed up the title company up in Deerfield Beach and moved it to Fort Lauderdale that day. And I never looked back. And it was simply the relationships that people need to foster today that are going to create their endless stream of referrals and are going to create their ability to be recession-proof.
The title of the book is Rescue Your Business, The Business Strategies of a Firefighter Turned Seven-Figure Entrepreneur. And that's phase one, right? You get this breakthrough, but you didn't stop there. And I know, you know, we've talked about the different centers of influence that we encounter in settlement where, you know, hey, if it's not going so well over here, let's focus here or let's focus there. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's what I call the funnels. You know, any successful business, regardless what industry you're in, you need a funnel. So if it's a realtor listening, you know, you need a funnel of different types of clients. If it's a title company, which I think a lot of title companies are going to be listening to this, it's about creating a different funnel stream. So it's breaking your business down to what I call the lowest common denominator, your LCD. And by breaking your business down to the lowest common denominator, you're going to be able to see what are your funnels of business. So in my business, I have investors. And people are like, okay, so we have investors and realtors. Well, you only have really two funnels. I'm like, no, I have investors that are fixing and flipping. I have investors that are rehabbing and for long-term rental. And I have investors that are wholesaling for a quick profit. So I have literally three funnels under the investor tab. Then I have people that teach these fancy, you spend, you know, $10,000 for a coaching program. I have a lot of these people that teach investors how to buy and sell real estate. So they may not be my client, but the people they're teaching are. So I have a whole educational platform that I go in and speak on. So when I talk about realtors and base a funnel off of them, I like to talk about the different areas that they work on. So I have realtors that work in Palm Beach County, Broward County, Miami-Dade County. I have realtors that work the east side of town, the west side of town, high-end luxury properties. So the reason I do that is because in order to recession-proof your business, you can't have one source of business. You need to be able to have multiple areas of income coming in. So if the luxury market is taking a hit right now, the lower end market's going to be busy. If the realtors are slow this month, maybe the mortgage brokers or the real estate investors are going to be busy. If there's a higher rate of short sales and foreclosures this month and they're releasing a lot of REOs, the investors are going to be busy. So I think part of it is looking at any business, regardless of what the industry is, and just figuring out what your lowest common denominator is in order to stop that stream of business from ending when we have a financial correction, whatever it's going to be. You know, we don't know what it's going to be. We don't know when it's going to be. But if you position yourself properly and you know your lowest common denominator as low as you can get it, you know how to source different streams of income.
Yeah, I think it's key, too, to build each of those streams. I know you'd agree that great to have them, but you got to focus, and maybe focus isn't the word because you're looking at different revenue streams here, but you got to focus on building each one of those so that, you know, you don't go from three deals down to one or zero, right?
Absolutely. So I speak at many realtor events. I speak at many real estate offices. I speak at all of the investor clubs in town. I'm on the board of some of them. I've founded some of them. And I'm there. You know, one of the things that they always share, which is funny, which I think is super important, is people walk into a networking event and they're like, no, I'm not going to get much business out of here. And one of the investor clubs that I helped found back in 2000, probably five, talks about it at every meeting saying, these are my trusted professionals. Here's Kevin, the title guy, who is here every single month, no matter what. And I think that's something that people need to realize is you can't walk into a networking event and think you're going to walk out with business. You need to walk in saying, how can I add value and make you want to do business with me? And I met last night with another real estate attorney, and he wanted me to do some coaching with him and just brainstorming. And he's like, you know, I would it be okay? And I'm like, absolutely. There's no such thing as competition. If my client's going to leave me because you do a better job, then I didn't earn their business. So I'll teach you everything I know. I'll teach you how I built the title company from zero to hero. There's no reason I can't. And I do it because I know my clients are going to stick with me regardless, because we take care of them, they have exceptional service, and we have their back. Most importantly, when the fire's burning hot, we have their back, and we help make sure that they get across the finish line of the deal without getting burned and make sure they get a check.
And the key point in all of this, I think one of the great quotes that I ever saw or read was from Brian Tracy. I think it was his book, Goals. And in that book, he basically said, in the buffet line of life, no one starts at the front of the line, right? You start at the back of the line and you work your way through or you work your way up. And what you're saying resonates, but the key word here is patience and building this thing, right? I mean, this, and for so many people in the industry, they want it right now and got to realize this is going to take months and years to get to that point. So if you're just starting now, kudos to you for starting, but you got to realize this is, you got to be realistic. It's going to take some time, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the one I met with last night, 10 years they've been at it and they just can't break through. And one of the things, you know, and I get into my coaching side, and one of the things I always look at is I should almost come up with a coaching program, how to build a title company, you know, maybe title companies for dummies or something where I can really coach people how to do it. Because I met with this one and I'm like, well, what's your problem? Because 10 years, you're still not trying to catch up. You can't figure it out. And I said, I'm going to tell you in one word what your problem is. Expectations. You've set such a high expectation for your employees that they can never deliver on that expectation, which means they'll never meet the needs of the client. So you, as a business owner, need to step back and stop working in your business and start working on your business and figure out what can I do to train the best team to deliver an expectation probably below where the business owner wants it, because no one's going to do what you do. You're not going to find one employee to deliver on your same expectation. So you need to lower your expectation a little bit and then be patient, because it's going to take time for you to build an empire. And we've built a business. We're doing 85 to 100 closings a month. I have 14 full-time employees, and it's all about adding value. And the more value we add, the more clients want to use us. And people ask all the time, what does Independence Title do that others don't? How are they so successful? Call the owner and ask him. He'll tell you. I have nothing to hide. I tell people exactly how to do it. The challenge is they don't want to do it. And even the ones that want to do it can't stay consistent with it. So they won't go to that chamber event every single month. They won't go to the different type of networking organizations every single month and be there to just add value. How can I help you? Those magic words alone, how can I help you, not how can you help me, will create an endless stream of referrals.
Thanks to Kevin Tatcher, author of Rescue Your Business, available on Amazon.com. To learn more, visit TitleRate.com. And if you have questions, Kevin invites you to call him directly at 954-335-9305. As we close out the year, we thank you for partnering with WFG. To learn more about our unique process, systems, and technology, visit WFGagent.com.